Video is really the only alternative that a lot of us have for watching these films. And fortunately, many great films are being released all the time on video and DVD. And I think almost all the films that I'm talking about in this course are now available, at least at the time that I'm recording, are now available on DVD. Films, of course, are meant to be seen on a big screen, and they're meant to be seen with audiences. A lot of the films that we're going to be talking about were made by directors who had no idea that their films would be watched on TV. They expected a large screen. So when you do watch these films on video, even if you have a fantastic digital setup and wide screen and a 30 or a 42 or a 56 or a 60-inch screen, you're still going to have to perform some kind of act of imagination. Try to imagine what it's like to watch these films in audiences, with audiences, in a theater. Because the world of the movie house is part of the experience of watching films, I've chosen for this course a number of films that are themselves about the idea of community, about the relationship between individuals and the societies they inhabit. So as we pursue this course, which will develop historically, chronologically, and as we develop a language for talking about film from lecture to lecture, we'll also return consistently to the ways in which the films we're looking at imagine the social world and talk about the benefits and dangers of living in society. In talking about film and the art of film, one point that I'd like to make at the outset about art itself is that it really succeeds when it convinces us that it's real. I'm sure we've all had the experience of reading a novel and becoming so absorbed in it that you forget that there's a world around you. Film really does try to do that. And in fact, I think for a lot of audiences, they find that it is the most realistic of art forms. There's a critic, Christian Metz, who argues that because film moves, because it functions in movement, because we see movement on the screen, it therefore feels more realistic than any other form. However, I think it's also important to point out that film is the most artificial of art forms. Even as it appears to be the most realistic, you can also argue that it is the most artificial. In fact, even this idea of movement, that there is something moving on the screen, is an artifice. Film works off an error that our retinas make. It turns out that if you flash an image before our eyes, the image will be held in our retinas for a fraction of a second longer than the image actually appears. That if you pull it away, it will remain in our retinas for a little longer. Because of that, we can, if you produce a single image and then an image that follows it that resembles the single image with a slight variation, say one sees a hand in one spot and then a hand in a slightly different spot in the second, and you continue that through a series of images and then you run them quickly by the eye will make the mistake that it's looking at movement. What you're really looking at are a series of still photographs. It turns out, we've discovered, that if you flash these frames, flash these images at 24 frames per second, it gives a very realistic illusion of movement. We call this the persistence of vision, this idea that we perceive movement where movement is not actually there. That is, we're looking at a series of still photographs at 24 frames per second, but they're set up in such a way that the illusion of movement is created. When directors make films, they tend to shoot in a series of takes. That is, let's call a take the moment from when the camera starts rolling, starts filming at 24 frames per second, to the moment when the camera stops. I say take rather than shot, which is more conventional, for this reason. When we talk about a shot, we're generally talking about the distance between the camera and the figure that the camera is photographing. For example, if a whole body or something larger than a whole body, say a room full of people, is being photographed, we call that a long shot. If we shoot the body from, say, the waist up generally, we call that a medium shot. If we have two figures standing together from the waist up, we generally call that a two shot. And if you look at a picture, if you're looking just at the whole face, we call that a close-up. It's possible during the course of a single take, if you're moving the camera, for example, to begin with a long shot, say the camera looks at all the people in a room, and for the camera to move closer toward a single individual, toward that individual from the waist up, now you're in medium shot, to the face of that individual, now you're in a close-up. So in the course of a single take, we can have a great number of shots.